continuing a series we started last week on Countdown to Christmas. You know, it's reaching the Christmas season when Walmart becomes crazy. Countdown to Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Last week we emphasized the greatness of God at this time of year as we begin to reflect back on the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel. It was a great event. But as this event began to unfold, when the wise men saw the star, the Bible says they rejoiced. That means they got happy. And they had exceeding great joy. Amen. I don't know what exceeding great joy is, but I think I do. I think it just means you're just bubbling over with excitement and joy. And then Eddie got up here and she read that passage about the power of prayer, that Elijah appeared to this Jewish rabbi who said the way you get prayers answered is you do it with exceeding joy. I mean, it sounds like the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us something this morning, doesn't it? Let's just take a minute to pray before we get into the Word. Father, we thank you for exceeding great joy. We thank you, Lord, that eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for his children. And as we enter this Christmas season, Lord, help us to just have a glimpse of the things you've prepared for us and give us that exceeding great joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So we talked about last week the greatness of his coming. Today we're going to talk about the joy of his coming. Amen. Now, I want you to help me with this sermon. I want you to act like you're happy as I say this every once in a while. If I say the joy of his coming, it's okay if you go, yeah, okay? You know, I've always noticed that baseball players throw strikes a whole lot better when the team is right there with them, when they're going, yeah, you know? So I might actually preach a little better if we have a little interaction this morning. There you go. You got the idea. Exceeding great joy. Amen. Now, Ecclesiastes tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, there is a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. So, you know, sometimes I see people and they're kind of phony in their Christianity because they think they got to always have a smile on their face, and they got to always have the right confession. And I'm not saying we shouldn't call the things that are not as though they are, but we also need to be real and not phony, you know. And if you're hurting, say, I'm kind of hurting right now, you know. So we've got a time we can weep, and we've got a time to laugh, we've got a time to mourn. But when we come into this Christmas season, I think that because the first coming represented a time of exceeding great joy, that as we begin to move into the Christmas season, God wants us to have that exceeding great joy. Amen. And, you know, we're not talking about emotionalism. That's the thing. You know, sometimes people interpret a move of the Holy Spirit as emotionalism, or emotionalism as a move of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we can have emotionalism, but that doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sometimes comes in a still, small voice. If you remember when Elijah was running from Jezebel and he went and hid in the cave, the Bible says that there was a great earthquake, but God wasn't in it. And there was a great whirlwind, but God wasn't in it. And then finally there was a still, small voice, and it was so moving that Elijah covered his face with his mantle. So emotionalism doesn't always equal a move of the Holy Spirit, though it can. But so we're not talking about emotionalism this morning. We're talking about something that's deeper than just being happy. Amen. Let's look at a few verses about this joy, this gladness. Luke 1:14. You shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. This is Jesus' first coming. Luke 1:44, and lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. This was, of course, John the Baptist, when Mary showed up to tell cousin Lizzie, right, that the angel appeared to her, Lizzie! You know, I mean, she was probably pretty excited, you know. Not every day an angel appears to you, much less says you're going to have a baby even though you're a virgin, and his name is going to be Jesus. He's going to save everybody from their sins. So she's all excited. She goes to see cousin Lizzie, and as soon as she said, Jesus, the baby leaped for joy. Jesus is a reason to leap for joy. Amen. I'm glad that I'm saved this morning. Luke 2:10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which shall be to how many? All people. Amen. All people. You know, our calendar didn't start changing, what we call A.D. for a reason. When Jesus showed up, everything changed. Amen. Including the calendar. Now, I want to look at a few definitions of joy. Joy, according to the definition, is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Great pleasure and happiness. It's a noun. The word happiness means a state of feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. You know? Have you ever, remember, some of you have kids, when they were little, you know, you say, what's the matter? I don't know, I'm not happy. Remember on Christmas evening, you know, after all the toys, you're like, I'm bored. What do you mean you're bored? I just bought you $50,000 worth of toys. I'm bored. So, you know, things don't always make us happy, right? You know, it's a state or feeling of showing pleasure, contentment, fun, enjoyment, amusement, lightheartedness, pleasure, right? And then, you know, man always wants to have more happiness, more joy, and so then we get into the area of entertainment, you know, the action of providing or being provided with amusement. We have amusement parks. We go to movies. We play games, all for amusement. But then if that's not enough, then, you know, society has came up with all sorts of drugs to incite euphoric feelings. And yet it seems like around the holidays, it's a time where people are most depressed, aren't they? Probably because of a higher expectation, you know. It's, everything is about being happy, having joy. It's the joyous season. You get cards from aunts and uncles that says joy on it, and everybody has got this expectation, and you're saying, why don't I feel the joy? Or why? What's wrong with me? I don't feel, it doesn't seem like Christmas. I don't feel that joy. And maybe we remember back when we were kids, the wonder of it, you know, on Christmas, and all of a sudden now it doesn't seem like it. And that, of course, adds stress to it. And you hear about suicides during this time of year. So emotions are never a yardstick for determining God's will or presence. Every religion has an emotional outlet. If you study other religions, many of them will go into a trance state as they're praying. It's demonic, but it's still emotional. And so we don't use emotion as a yardstick for joy, because that's just emotion. And if we base our experience with God strictly on our emotions, we become double-minded, you know, because I'm up one day, I'm down the next, right? And, of course, James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we don't base our Christianity, our joy, our peace on emotions, because I can be up one day, down the next, and then I'm unstable. And so I don't want that. But Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 tells us that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with a couple of things. Number one, this thing about strong meat is referring to the meat of the Word. Amen? We are people of the book. We are men and women of the Word. I'm here to tell you, and you know, you can know this in your head, but if you don't practice it, it doesn't do you any good. If you don't stay in the Word, you're going to be emotionally up and down. You're going to be unstable, like James says. You can't just snack on the Word. You need to eat the meat of the Word. You need to eat it. You need to roll it over in your mind. You need to memorize it. Amen. You need to be a man, a woman of the Word. You need to eat the meat of the Word. And that's when you're full of full age. That's when you're mature. Amen. You're a mature Christian if you are a man or a woman who knows the Word of God, who exercises that. And it talks about by reason of their senses exercise. That means, you know, just as people physically exercise, right, that we read the Word, we meditate the Word, we quote the Word, we are exercised in the Word, and being exercised in the Word, we are mature and we are ready for whatever comes. Our senses are able to discern things. Amen. And you know what? There's so many things that over the years that God has helped me discern because I have memorized the Word. And it's not that I have more wisdom than someone else. It's not that I have a greater anointing than someone else. It's that I've read the Word, and something in the Word, you say, well, something just don't sound right. It's because you've got enough Word in you and that you're mature in the Word that then you can discern what's good and evil, what's right and wrong. Amen? Everybody with me? Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with joy? It has to do with joy because, again, joy is not emotionalism. Joy is understanding the bedrock of God's Word, resting in the knowledge of that. It's the wise man whose house is built on the rock. And when the waves and the wind come, you don't freak out. Amen? All right. Now, of course, we know they have joy in heaven. Jesus told us in Luke 15:7, I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, moreover than the 99 just people which need no repentance. So, you know, you say, well, yeah, they have joy in heaven. It's heaven. Okay, well, they do have joy in heaven because there's no sickness and there's no poverty and there's no pain. But Jesus said when they really get happy in heaven, it's when someone down here who's, a wife abuser, a child beater, and God gets a hold of him and he realizes that his life is wrong and he repents and he asks God to change him, that in heaven the angels start doing a dance. They start singing and shouting. And they're not nearly concerned about all us churchgoers. They're concerned about this guy that needs to be changed over here. And God got a hold of him and begins to do a change in his life. And in heaven, there's joy. And that's the kind of joy that we're talking about today. A joy that's not about me. A joy that's about what God is doing in someone else's life. Amen. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You see, that same joy that they had in heaven when someone repents needs to be our joy, and our greatest joy is that I'm saved today. Amen. That my name is written in heaven. I'm not rejoicing that I'm a pastor. I'm not rejoicing, you know, Nola Jean doesn't rejoice that she's a praise and worship leader. We don't rejoice that we can cast out devils. We don't rejoice in any of these things. Our joy is that Jesus saved me. I can take you to the place in Bellevue, Nebraska. I can show you the place where I bowed at that altar and asked him to come in my life, and my name was written in heaven, and it's still there today. Glory to God. I'm saved. Amen. That's something to get happy about. And you know what? Nobody can steal that joy, can they? You know what? You can say, well, you know, I got a toothache, but my name's still written in heaven. Well, you know what? I got a bag. I lost my job. What am I going to do? Well, I don't know, but I know my name is still written in heaven. You know what? You know what? The stock market crashed. I lost a bunch of money. You know what? But my name is still written in heaven. Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. There's a book in heaven with your name in it. And it's there. It's physically in heaven. Is there any part of me in heaven? Yeah, my name's there. That's right. I'm still here, but my name's there. How many of you guys ever travel, you know, and you catch a plane and you rent a car and you go to the hotel and you say, I have a room reserved, Roger Jones. Oh, yes, Mr. Jones. Would you like some breathe rights? You know, because my reputation precedes me. I snore. And so, you know, they know you, right? Oh, yeah, you're Roger Jones, right? Well, when we get to heaven, it's the same way. You got reservations. Your name's in the book. Your name is in the book. And so that's something to be happy about. That's our joy. Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. You know, one of the biggest hang-ups that I have, I don't know if you have it or not, is sometimes I take my salvation for granted. Remember when you first got saved? Connie says she was praying this prayer, renewing me the joy of my salvation. You know, when you first got saved, man, the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, the air was sweeter. You know, everything was just, you know, everything was just glorious. Talk about joy, the joy of your salvation. Well, Jesus tries to capture that joy for us in this little parable. He says, here's a guy walking through a field, and he looks down and he sees something. And he moves some of the dirt, and there's a treasure chest, $50 billion in gold bullion. And, you know, a tree blew over, and it got uprooted, and someone had buried it there, and there it is. So he buries it again, and I'm sure his heart's racing, looking around, see if anybody sees him. And he goes, and he sells two cars, and he borrows everything up to his teeth, you know, and his hands are probably trembling the day he's signing the papers, and his heart is racing. He said, they don't know it, but I'm giving everything I got to get this land, because there's a treasure on that land. I'll be richer than I've ever been before. And he sells everything he has to buy that property because he knows there's a treasure there. You know what? There is nothing, nothing more glorious than the heaven that awaits us. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Better to go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with both your members. There is nothing here worth not giving everything I got for the glorious joy that awaits me in heaven. Amen? And when it said this guy sold everything he had to buy that field, that's a picture of you and I saying, man, this is going to be the greatest thing that I've ever experienced. The air is going to be cleaner. I'm going to hear sounds I never heard. I'm going to see colors I've never experienced. I'm going to live forever and ever in the presence of God and the holy angels. Joy. Joy and gladness. Amen? That's what Jesus came for. That's why we celebrate Christmas. He came so that he could write my name in a book so I could go to heaven and not go to hell. And he wants me to experience that joy every day. They accused Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the devil, the prince devil. And he said, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by who do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judge. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When Jesus came the first time, he didn't just come. He brought the kingdom of God with him. I don't think you heard me. I said when Jesus came the first time, he didn't come by himself. He brought the kingdom of heaven down with him. Amen. And it's still here. All I need to do is tap into it by faith, by joy and gladness. I mean, that ought to get you excited. He said, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven has come down from God, and it's still here. He said, the works I do, and you shall do also, and greater than these, because I go to the Father. The kingdom of heaven is still here. We can have the joy of the Lord. One day Jesus got happy. You know what made Jesus happy? You know, he was a man acquainted with sorrow. He prayed and he cried a lot. But one day he said, Lord, I'm so happy. I'm happy that you hide these things from the quote, religious wise people, and you show them to babes. You know what? We're babes. And we've been given the keys to the kingdom of God. That's joy. That's something to get happy about. That's better than anything this world has to offer. The kingdom of heaven is here. Glory to God. Praise God. Joy. J-O-Y. Joy. I'll tell you the secret. Again, we're not talking about emotionalism. Amen. The reason people don't experience joy around Christmas is they miss the real secret of Christmas. The first thing has to be Jesus. He has to be number one. Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. It's not about gifts. It's not about bows. It's not about packages. It's about Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That he came in that little manger to die for the sins of the world. For sinners like me and you. It's all about Jesus. You want to experience joy, the second thing you need to do right under Jesus is put others above yourself. Amen. Jesus, others. That should be our vocabulary. Jesus, others. Jesus, then others. The greatest gift you can give yourself is to give something away. Amen. I mean, it just makes you feel good. We know that. We feel good. Jesus said, more blessed to give than to receive. We give gifts at Christmas. You know, we sometimes gauge, well, how much are we spending this year? You know, and I understand people don't want to feel embarrassed. You give them an expensive gift. You know, but really, who cares? If I got more money, I want to bless someone with more stuff, you know. Give, you know. Be generous. You know, this is the time of year we see the story of Scrooge, right? Christmas, you know? And that joy he has at the end, you know, he was a tight miser until God got a hold of him, and then he understood that joy was about giving to others. You know, here, go get that big turkey, young man. About giving. When you begin to give of yourself, you begin to experience this joy, Jesus and then others. And then, of course, the last one is yourself, you know. Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny self, take up his cross and follow me. I must become less. He must become more. Joy, Jesus, others, yourself. Now, in John 19, Jesus, when he had received the vinegar on the cross, he said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Jesus didn't come to earth to start something. He came to earth to finish it. Amen? You see, sometimes we forget that my salvation was bought and paid for at the cross. If we're not careful, we'll get in that I got to work to earn my salvation mode, thinking that if I think a wrong thought or I don't do something right, that, oh my goodness, you know, hell's about to open up and swallow me. But when Jesus died on the cross and dismissed his spirit, he said, it's finished. Amen. That means everything that could be done for my salvation has been done. And that's good news. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 8, Paul is summing up the first seven chapters. He said, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Now, that's, of course, a sentence fragment, but the secret is in that verse, and many people read past that verse, and they miss it. And you know what they miss? That Jesus, the high priest, when he got to heaven, sat down. You see, when I get done preaching, and people want to visit me because I have fallen arches, I'll usually come over here and sit down and listen to them. Get off my feet. Why do you do that, Pastor? Because I'm done. When Jesus went to heaven, because the job was finished, the Bible says, this is the sum, he sat down. He sat down. Jesus sat down. Man, that makes me happy. We're talking about joy. He's not doing anything else. It's all done. He's finished. He sat down. That means all that's left me to do is breathe until my last breath, and then I'm going to be in heaven where my name is written it's done. That's joy. I'm happy. I'm excited. It's finished. He's done. He sat down. I said he sat down. Roger's going to heaven. Nola's going to heaven. Craxy's going to be walking on streets of gold pretty soon. Why? Jesus sat down. He's done. It's finished. Glory to God. All right, back to our first verse. They called them wise men for a reason. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know who these guys were? They were men exercised in the meat. They weren't emotional. They were exercised in the meat of the word. They were educated men who studied astronomy and scripture, and they knew what that star meant. They didn't get emotional because the star was pretty and, oh, isn't that pretty? It's so pretty. They weren't getting emotional. They knew what it meant. And when they knew what it meant, they had exceeding great joy. Because they saw the star and they knew what it meant. The King has come. Now, you ready for this? I'm going to show you a picture. And if people don't start shouting, I'm going to be mad. Because just as the wise men 2,000 years ago saw the sign and had exceeding great joy, guess what? We have too. Amen. I said we have too. You know, if you're a wise man and if you're exercised in the meat of the word and if you saw the sign in the sky, guess what? Exceeding great joy. We are just over the hilltop is heaven. Jesus is coming soon. He came the first time and they had exceeding great joy. How much more should we, the church of the living God, get happy today because the King is coming again. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, let's stand up to our feet. Come on, Nola. Glory to God. Glory to God. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. I said the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Let's worship the Lord one more time before we go.
World is this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. The joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
Come on now.
Joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
One more time.
Joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
No, it didn't.
The world joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I said the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy that we have. It's not emotionalism, Lord. We are exercised to the meat of your word. And we are confident that our name is written in heaven and that you're coming again very soon. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.